and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Albin.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Bat of the Booth Band.
Man.
Oh, man. Exciting week, huh? Big week? Thanksgiving?
Yep. Oh, right. Just happened.
Did you guys have a good time at Thanksgiving?
Did. Went home up to the North Country. 65. Tell you what I did.
The North Country?
That's what it's called.
Isn't that a jacket?
No, that's the North Face. And the North Country is what you call upstate New York above Syracuse.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Yeah?
Have you ever been north of fucking Westchester?
I'm sorry. I'm from South Country, so I wouldn't know.
Listen, if you go up there, it is sort of a fantasy world. It's an elven land. Yeah. The trees are big.
What happened to you then?
I'm the one emissary that came to the big city to bring
so
back
you went
the
to
word.
North Country, spent time with your family.
Mm-hmm. I watched the Muppet movie. Anybody see the Muppet movie?
Yeah.
Great. Did you cry? Wow.
No answer.
I know, liar. I cried.
For those of you listening at home, our audience member lied.
Yeah.
Good
I
job,
cried.
Liar.
Through the entire movie.
Seriously?
I wept through the movie.
You got to the end and you were like, best boy, gaffer.
Yeah, cried right through the credits. No, I just don't get out of the house and then all the orcs up there. Yeah. I didn't realize I had this deep nostalgia for the Muppet Show, but like, as soon as Kermit came on screen, I was like, my whole family sitting next to me. I cried, this is doubly embarrassing, I cried at the movie Mulan once. My youngest brother.
Moulin Rouge?
No, regular Mulan.
No, you
I'm thinking
Asian
of a really good Mulan. Mashup.
Huh?
You talking about that music video with?
No, Mulan, the Disney movie. A young girl has to impersonate a boy and then go to fight. She does some very honest stuff.
It's kind of like your story.
When people are very true, it makes me cry. And so my younger brother makes fun of me all the time for crying in Mulan.
Good.
Yeah.
Deserved.
No, Muppet movie, they just mock me forever. I realize that I think I built my entire life around the idea of being a human version of Kermit the Frog.
Thank you. You live in a swamp, so that's going on.
He lives in a house.
Married to a pig.
Whoa!
Sorry, Justin's wife is out of the audience. I'm just laying it out there right now. Wife.
And I have to pour out my slop. I forgot to pour out my slop bucket.
Yeah. Pete, what movie did you see over Thanksgiving?
I saw Bridesmaids.
Yeah?
Really great movie, guys.
Did it make you cry?
Nope. No.
Have you ever cried?
Yes. One time.
When?
At what?
It was the first time I saw Beauty and the Beast.
Really?
Flower petal goes, and you think it's over because the petal is, you know, the last flower petal.
So you were just making fun of me, and you cried at Beauty and the Beast.
No, obviously I didn't cry at that movie. I'm making fun.
To be fair, only one of those movies was nominated for an Oscar, and it wasn't Mulan.
Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme.
I'm sorry, if you were singing songs from Hunchback of Notre Dame, maybe you get me, but that's pretty much my thing.
When did you cry?
Tron Legacy. I saw Tron Legacy over the weekend. Totally crying. Because of how bored I was.
How the digital rendering really
yes,
made you
it
cry.
Was just beautiful. I love numbers and I love grids. Yeah. I'm really into grids and they just
movie.
Get me out of an emotional
It's like
world.
A CAD draw pornography, that movie.
Pretty much, yeah. I
wow.
Anybody?
Wow.
Anybody?
We're going to go around reference. And we're going to find out what movies everybody watched at Thanksgiving and then I think that'll be the show.
That's probably That's it. Yeah, it's just a catch up. No, wait, let's invite some guests.
We
have some guests out
there. I'm actually very excited about the guests that we have on the show today. One of them is a comedian currently appearing on MTV2's The Guy Code. The other one is the amazing artist of Wonder Woman. Ladies and gentlemen, John Gabris and Cliff Chien!
Yeah! Yeah! Come on out!
Guests!
Don't be so shy. Welcome.
Thanks for coming.
Welcome.
Hello. Thanks for coming out, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, is it?
Also, we can't really hear anything you're saying, which is for the better.
Probably.
You guys weren't listening a little cup against the door?
No.
To hear what a little
well,
bon
what, we were talking about what movies we saw over Thanksgiving. What movies did you guys see over Thanksgiving?
I saw, these are not in the theaters, I saw Number One with a Bullet, Best of the Best, the first third of Cobra, and Big Trouble in Little China for the 15th time.
Yeah. Wow.
Best movie.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Foobar, big time.
Cliff, what about you?
I was working for most of Thanksgiving.
Boo.
But when I wasn't, I caught the last third of Elf.
All right.
Okay, all right.
Which I thought was a little early, but...
Call me when they get over the bullshit, and I just want to watch the last third.
Right, the last third.
I want to see the action.
Yeah.
Jumping the gun on holiday movies.
Yeah,
right? Getting
yeah,
it
I
in
think
early.
I think it was a little early.
Well, they run on Thanksgiving, they run 24 Hours of Elf, right, on TBS, you guys?
Is that true?
Too much?
Oh, God, you're yeah, okay. real dark. Okay. I watched... They run all the Bond movies. Did you see those?
Yeah. Oh,
man, great. Octopussy. Very strange movie.
It's weird. Let's talk to our guests. What do you guys think?
No, let's talk about Octopussy. This is Octopussy Book Club, right? Yeah.
I'm writing the book. So
it's really good, by the way. It's a good manuscript. John, let's talk to you. So you're appearing on MTV2's The Guy Code.
Right. MTV2's highest rated show ever.
I just
Which says just as much about the show as it does about MTV2.
Interesting. Yeah. I actually got a press release from MTV2 right before the show, trumpeting that the second episode was even bigger than the first episode.
Impossible.
Wow. Is that all because
Impossible.
Of you?
Impossible.
I did make my debut in the second episode, and tonight at 11 is the third episode, which I believe I'm also in. It's just rampant misogyny. That's all it really is.
Are you
it's like, when you go to a urinal, don't piss next to no one, because that's gay. it's like such just like veiled homophobia.
Let me ask you, are you proud of yourself?
I love it. It's the best work I've ever done. Finally get my veiled homophobia and misogyny out
no
there.
No homo, but it is, dude.
Take
it's really
the
best work you've ever
you better
done.
Better preface everything you say
Do
to me
think,
for the rest of the night with no homo.
What guy code advice would you have for comic book
readers? Alex. For Alex specifically.
Yeah, just for Alex.
Don't dress it up. We know it's about you.
Yeah, comic book readers who are, you know, in their mid-30s wearing glasses hosting comic book talk shows.
I would stop lying and saying mid-30s all the time. Let's get real. We all know.
Just straight up mid-50s?
Yeah, let's just be
okay,
real.
Let's do it.
No, I mean, I don't really have... I'm barely a part... The rest of the guys on that show are like actual men and comedians and stuff.
Actual men?
You're the femmy one on
the
show?
No, I just look like a man because I'm so big and I have a beard, but really I'm a giant baby.
Are you the guy when they cut to clips, you give advice and then they have a record scratch afterwards? Is that what happens?
No. So, I'm more of the guy that just talks about how vegetarianism is ridiculous. That's been like my main point that I've been pushing. I'm trying to get my propaganda out there.
We were talking about this a little bit backstage, more to the point of geeky stuff. So you've been spending pretty much all your time playing Skyrim.
Yeah. I got Arkham City, beat it, and then on 11/11/11, when Skyrim came out, I started playing that, and I have yet to stop. I am thinking about it now, and I'm like bummed that I came here to do the show when I could have. I was in the middle.
Sorry
of
to take cool. you away from that.
Yeah, sorry. I was in the middle of a dope ass. Dude, I worked so hard on it today.
I was in the
like
middle of a dope ass quest,
worked,
bro.
You
I felt like
worked
I,
so hard.
I got stuff done, is what I felt like. I was like, well, my alchemy went up 7 points, and now I can craft elven armor. Like I should just take a break. I really got things done. Meanwhile, nothing on my to do list has been scratched off, but. I did get some new banded plate mail of conjuration, which I could sell or disenchant if I need.
Wow.
Don't you dare disenchant that.
Well, it's good. If you disenchant it, you learn the enchantment, and then you can... Let's not get into it. But if you trap a beast's soul, you can use the soul gem to enchant weapons. And all right.
You know.
Yeah, everyone.
You
Come on, we
know.
All know.
Yeah, no.
Let me ask you this. I haven't really played Skyrim at all.
Okay.
But I find, you know,
Feel free
when, you
to
play,
ask me anything.
When you play a game a lot... You kind of start to live in that world. Like when you're playing Grand Theft Auto and you go around a car, it feels like the car is kind of sedentary and the world is moving around you.
And then you rape
think, oh,
someone.
I could steal that car. That would be all right, right?
It really does happen. I remember when I was playing GoldenEye, like religiously, like every other male around my age, I would strafe around corners. Like I would walk sideways into rooms as to not expose my side. But with this, like I walk down the street and if I see a plant, I think to myself, I should harvest this because I might not have this ingredient for potions. Swear to God, I think that. I'm like, I want to like grab it and put it in my sack.
Well, thank you for taking the time away from your busy schedule to come and do the show. Really
I might have to leave halfway through. I'm really concerned. I want to get in the Dark Brotherhood.
I don't know what that means.
It's like a race thing. I don't want to get into it.
race.
Wow.
Race, right?
Okay,
it's
I don't know.
Really,
I'm thirsty from talking about Skyrim.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Wow, very progressive.
Guy code.
We're actually married in Skyrim now once you drink my beer. That's the only thing I know about it is when you share ale. Yeah, grog. Cliff, let's chat with you. So you're working on Wonder Woman right now.
Yeah,
that's right.
Woo!
Yeah!
So I think we all actually chatted with you one way or another before the series started coming out. How has the process changed since you started getting reaction from the fans about it? Or is it just kind of trucking along?
It's well, we're trucking along, but I think we were really... We weren't nervous about it, but like we had no idea what the reaction was going to be. So now that it's come out and people seem to like it, the pressure is off a little bit. You know, we were kind of second-guessing ourselves a little bit more at the beginning, and now we can just kind of go full force ahead, you know?
Yeah. Can we talk about the big thing that happened in the last issue? For those of you, by the way, who aren't reading Wonder Woman, it's awesome.
You're an idiot. Gorgeous.
Very cool.
You're doing a great job with it.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
But I felt like there was a big reveal, this is a spoiler, in the last issue, or
two months ago, actually, in the press. USA Today. But
yeah, well, do you want to talk about what the spoiler was?
Yeah, we tweaked Wonder Woman's origin where, you know, before she was molded from clay, and
clay
her mother
baby.
Kind
clay
of
baby.
Breathed life into her, like it was like a, you know, a little bit like a Pinocchio kind of thing. What we revealed is that story was actually a lie, and that her father is Zeus. And this lie was perpetuated so that Zeus's wife wouldn't come after Wonder Woman.
Why
classic. I've pulled that same scam.
Yeah? How's that working for you?
A lot of clay babies out there.
why do you guys think it was necessary to tweak Wonder Woman's origin way?
It was one of the first things that we decided going into it. I think it adds a lot of story because now Wonder Woman has this giant family, in addition to the Amazons, but... It's this giant mythological family, so she's got all the gods and goddesses from antiquity and all their kind of crazy personalities that all filter into it. So she has this really strong connection now with a whole bunch of crazy characters.
And a lot of them are sort of around in the Wonder Woman mythos for a while. Like
yeah,
Ares
they've been around. You know, we're reinterpreting them a little bit. They're a lot more, I guess, greedy. You know, they're all kind of vying for power in a certain way. So it's... Right now, Zeus is missing, so they're trying to figure out who's in charge.
Yeah. I'm curious from
if Zeus is away, the Titans will play.
Guy code.
Mythological
guy code.
I'm going to be saying hashtags Brainy. During this.
Sorry. These mics convert our words to hashtags, so
Finally.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Knowing that going in, and I assume you guys did decide that before the series, you redesigned Wonder Woman's mother. She looks a little different in the series. Zeus, also in the flashbacks we've seen, looks a little different in the series. Did you think about that at all in terms of the genetics of coming down, in terms of how you changed Wonder Woman visually as well?
Well,
Hashtag dorky question.
So is,
I'm sorry. I'm just talking about genetics and comic books and art.
It's made of paper.
Is the Amazonian super strength a recessive gene or a dominant gene?
No, actually, that is a good question. I mean, I like the question.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, we've tried to keep, like, some visual things. I think what happened is we turned Hippolyta back into a blonde, which she was, like, in the Silver Age and stuff.
Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of cool to have this contrast between her mom and her. And it kind of reinforces this idea that when she was growing up, maybe she wasn't actually her mom's, you know, blood, you know, daughter. But they actually have the same features, like the same nose and stuff like that. And so other than the hair, you know, it's you know, they look similar. And Zeus, we didn't want him to look... We wanted to get rid of togas. Like, it was really important for us to, you know, for that stuff not look old and, like, kind of the way you expect it to look when it comes to the Greek gods, because, you know... We've all been, you know, kind of reading books about mythology and seen cartoons or Clash of the Titans even.
Yeah,
you know,
the new 80s. Clash of the Titans looks so, like, all the togas and all that.
Yeah, they're just wearing armor instead of togas or whatever. It's kind of the same thing. But Zeus couldn't be this old guy with, like, you know, a white beard and you know, it just
so that's why you did the jean shorts?
Yeah.
Actually, it's Zuba pants.
You know? Right? Super pants?
Zuba pants.
Super pants.
Pete wears his super pants in the show, as you can see.
Could you talk a little bit also about redesigning the Pantheon? I mean, you kind of touched on this a bit.
Yeah, we're trying to... it was one of Brian's big things when we started on the book. It's just we want to externalize a lot of their interior qualities and just bring a different perspective to it. So... You know, Apollo, instead of being, as he's traditionally shown, kind of like this really kind of fair-haired, you know, god of the sun, you know, and the arts, like, we've turned him into, like, a dark kind of onyx statue, you know, and he kind of glows from within, and you can kind of see that he's got, like, this kind of you know, power of light, you know, inside of him. But, you know, it just gives a different twist to things, and you start, because things look differently, you approach them differently, and you're not sure what is coming around the corner.
You'd mentioned working with Brian. Do you feel like any time he might snap and kill you?
Yeah, you know, and I talk to him like on a weekly basis, so you can imagine what that does to my psyche. I just kind of wake up like in a cold sweat thinking he's going to call. Like, what is it now? You know, I'll get a text message, you know, are you busy? And I'm like, oh, God. Shit, what do I do?
Because I'm standing right behind you. Right. He's behind one of these curtains also.
Yeah, he's got a... I love watching his interviews because I think he does them just to make people uncomfortable.
He does not like being interviewed, I would say.
No, he doesn't mind. I think you just have to ask him good questions, and then
we don't know how to do that.
But yeah, he'll basically kind of, it's a little bit of give and take. He'll throw stuff back at you to see what you come back with, you know. So it's always fun to watch.
I don't know how much you can speak to this, but in a greater sense, could you talk about how things have been like working in DC's New 52 as it's been pushing forward and after as it went past that initial gigantic launch?
Yeah, it's I've never been part of something this big, and I'm surprised that they were able to pull it off, frankly, because I mean there were, you know, 52 new books, trying to get all the marketing, trying to get all the books done in time so that they all came out and they rolled out in this way. I think they did a really great job of it, and it's weird because usually I'd be working on either, like, you know, just a small stint on some book or on a Vertigo book, and it's much more compartmentalized, I guess, you know, your contribution. But feeling like you're part of this bigger team was really interesting, and knowing that, like, they had, you know, DC had kind of these resources and they were pushing things, and that, you know, that because we're working on Wonder Woman, it was a much more important book for them.
Now, what's the favorite thing that you've gotten to draw so far in the Wonder Woman world?
Pervert.
It was the boobs.
Please say boobs.
Glavin boobs.
Right. That's no. Actually, the funny thing is, there were a lot of complaints about Wonder Woman having the shorts. You know, because we had first shown her drawing wearing pants like early on, because they had like that design, and then I got to draw her wearing pants in the fourth issue. So there's a little teaser for the next
issue. Everything you've done,
really satisfying.
Your answer is pants.
The answer is yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's
pants.
That's
no,
a
the,
good.
Yeah, no, pants. we introduced a few more gods in the next issue. Ares shows up, and I'm convinced that people will hate the design as soon as it comes out, but the people who get it will really like it.
Super Mario.
Yeah.
The people who get it will like it. Ah, Cliff. Looks super familiar.
It's Wario. But,
yeah. It's Wario. Nice.
So let me ask you this. I feel like I've read a lot about Wonder Woman and a lot of talk about Wonder Woman online, and we were mentioning the thing where you came out 2 months ago, talked about the thing with Wonder Woman's parentage way before anybody could actually read it. And it almost felt like with a lot of these things, you guys have been kind of steeling yourself for, all right, negative fan reaction. Here it comes. We're going to be ready for it, at least on the DC marketing end. But that hasn't really come. People have said, yeah, good. Okay, good. We like it. Where I've seen,
I don't know. A lot of Potters I know are really down on this
Potters?
New origin. Yeah.
Clay fans.
The Clay.
Yeah, clay heads.
Clay, yeah. Right. Big Clay is really down on
The people at Aardman Animation are like the worst.
Clayface is like, oh, man, that was going to be my chance to fuck her.
My whole crew down in Mud, Sweat, and Tears is really upset. That's my local
Yeah, that's
pottery
your Blood, Sweat, and Tears cover band?
No, yeah, well, we're a pottery collective / right. Blood, Sweat, and Tears cover band. They're pretty great.
No,
there will be Mud is another one of my clay groups that I'm in.
Really? Much darker.
Yeah, it's a little darker. One guy. Yeah,
you guys make those short films, right?
Yeah, we make a lot of short films. We make a lot of them.
I guess what I was getting towards was where I have seen a little bit of actual freak out online is how long you were going to be on the title. You know, when people see solicits where your name isn't on it artistically or taking an issue off, they say, oh, my God, is Cliff off the title? So how long are you going to be on for?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we have a long story to tell, so I don't know how long I'll be on for, but I'm not planning to, like, you know, jump ship.
Yeah, don't jump ship.
What's that?
Don't jump ship.
Don't jump ship. Super fans.
Don't jump ship.
I did the first four issues. Tony Akins is coming in for issues 5 and 6, and then I'm back on 7. You know, hopefully we're going to do kind of 4 issues on with me and then 2 issues with Tony and just kind of keep swapping back and forth like that.
That's cool. And you've been finding that schedule has been working out for you?
Yeah. Well, it definitely works better than having to, you know,
to do, all
do
of
it every month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Non-stop working thing. All the time, 24 hours
You'd
a day.
Be surprised. Less stuff is easier than more stuff.
Right. Yeah, totally.
What?
The math works out. Trust me.
If you need any help in time management, John over here has been doing an amazing job with Skyrim.
So you have to come to my apartment to have the time management meeting. Unless you have Xbox 360.
I've been drawing Wonder Woman in Skyrim. So, like,
oh, God.
Character.
Uh-oh. Holy shit. I'm not going to go to sleep tonight. Not because I'm going to be playing Skyrim. Right. And I'm going to jerk off for 2 minutes.
And last little thing, you did a cool thing back at New York Comic Con. You always seem to do these very cool charity things. You did a charity T-shirt, I think, again at New York Comic Con. Is that correct, or am I imagining that?
Guilt if we didn't do anything for charity.
Were
you wearing a T-shirt?
I think I did... I think the CBLDF was doing some fundraising around that time. I think we did some, you know, I released like a one-on-one page for them to sell. I think there was a T-shirt. Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember which one it was, but
stopped.
Yeah,
there was probably a T-shirt at New York Comic Con somewhere.
Right. I don't know about it.
Either on a shelf or over men's breasts.
That's considered
a
safe question to ask anyone.
Yeah. Were there any T-shirts anywhere in the world?
I think Threadless re-released the T-shirt that I did with them. I'm trying to think if there was another one, but maybe it's a bootleg.
Cool.
Yeah. A B-side.
You gotta get this bootleg Cliff Chang T-shirt, man.
Really hard to find. Really hard to find.
Dude, I recorded it live. I don't know how I did that.
Last little thing to ask you. So I know a lot of people online are fans of your stuff, where you do a mashup of superheroes and album covers. Are you too busy with Wonder Woman, or are we going to see anything?
I haven't thought of one for a while. I'm probably collecting ideas right now, so hopefully I'll get to it, like, you know, before.
Well, there's
before the
Mud, Sweat, and Tears is already out there.
We're still looking for a cover.
That's one.
All right, just that's it, you guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Stack. So the deal with the Stack is we have each made a pick, some comic book that we particularly like this week, and we are going to go to bat for it. First thing we're going to talk about is my good friend Pete LePage's pick.
Oh, sounds like a lie.
Yeah.
My good friend Pete LePage is... All right, I'm done. Wolverine and the X-Men, number 2.
Yeah.
Woo! So, Pete, you want to talk about this book? What did you like about it?
Oh, man, this book.
Did you
say no more?
Now it sounds like you're lying.
And then Wolverine's in there too. Oh man!
Things happening and Wolverine. Pete's two favorite things. Yeah.
Pete just walked past the cover, based on that review.
No, so Wolverine's now in charge of a school and has to take on responsibility, which is weird for him. But you know, the school blew up already, so they're fighting evil kids. So they're trying to get their shit together. So yeah, a lot of action, a lot of great stuff. You know, Iceman kind of comes into his own.
It's gonna, you know what? And the big thing in this issue is there's a lot of talk about Iceman. Like, it's like, Iceman, it's your time to shine.
Iceman.
All this. This has been an era. This is
Iceman!
Cool. Cool. It's different than the guy.
He's real
popcorn.
Cool.
No.
Guy code.
Okay. And this has been happening since like 1998. Like, when's Iceman going to get his shit together?
Right.
Like, what's the deal?
I remember the first time you saw Iceman, like, flex and make like the spikes on him.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Iceman's a badass. He doesn't just like do a half pipe around everywhere, you know? So that was awesome. Then seeing him be a steal multiple man's powers and have a bunch of ice guys fighting was pretty dope.
Pretty cool. There's a little kiss in here, huh? But Alex Salvo was a bit jealous.
Taking your lady.
A fake Iceman kissed Kitty Pride.
Yeah, it was a fake one.
No, the real one kissed her. The fake one.
No, it's
fighting.
A fake one.
Oh, sorry.
Don't you wish you could make multiple Zalbans?
Isn't it a little weird to have Wolverine run the school? Isn't that like a plot to a Vin Diesel movie of just like total badass now in charge of 12-year-olds? And it's like, and he's like,
what will he do?
Yeah, he's like, I'm not prepared for this. I'm still an eligible bachelor. This is thrust upon me.
Well, it'd be great as if instead of Vin Diesel, that was maybe Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he was in a school and he was taking care of like a kindergarten.
Yeah, like he was a cop.
Yeah,
you
like
idiot.
A kindergarten.
He's a cop, you idiot.
Yeah.
Thank you, Crier.
This series is great so far. I really love it. First issue was awesome. This issue is mostly action. Was mostly talk. It's a ton of fun. Really fun. Really creative throughout. Great issue.
I love the Chris Bachalo art.
Art's amazing.
It's nice. I'm excited. There is a lot going on. I want to see how it's going to sort of lay down here. I like so many ideas. It's crammed full of ideas.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to... Oh, what did you guys think?
It seems like you're leaning in to say something.
Yes, the only thing I want to say was I don't understand why Iceman's wearing shorts.
Yeah, he's cargo he's shorts on.
Cargo shorts on. Like, you know.
You don't want
to cool.
see...
Chris I feel like Chris Bachalo likes to draw, like, tiny places, and I bet you anything there are, like, 6 frogs in all those pockets. And they're all going to, like, poke their heads out in later issues.
Yeah?
He's always drawing, like, little pockets in the corner of panels. Read any book he's done in the last... Since Age of Apocalypse. There are mushrooms and frogs everywhere. I swear.
You've gotten crazy.
No. Maybe he's, like... He's
yeah,
like,
it is weird to put, like, a superhero badass in cargo shorts. He's not a bartender at Fiddlesticks or some shit. Yeah.
He needs a vest, yeah.
Did you say Fiddlesticks?
Yeah, like that's a local bar reference.
All right, let's move on with Justin's pick, which is Fantastic Four, number 600.
Oh, hell
Justin
yeah.
Sucks.
Gigantic.
This was
100-page anniversary issue. Justin, what did you think of this
Too
book?
Too many pages.
So many great pages. It was
Can I give Pete's review of it first? Because
sure.
I handed Pete to it before the show, and
you
he looked at
Pete
it.
To it? Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty weird. I had Pete the comic right before the show, and I said, here you go. And he took a look at it sideways and said, this is just what I need right now.
Another long day at the factory. What did you think? Did you read it?
Turn on the old brain, get it going.
I know that's taxing for you. Yeah. How do you make it through all the whole day without having your brain on?
Yeah, exactly. It's a good day when you don't have to turn it on.
The Cliff's Notes comes out next month, so you can just wait and get it there.
Cliff what did you think?
The Cliff's, Cliff's Notes.
Cliff's Notes, yeah.
He took notes on it.
How are your notes going?
I'm sorry.
Next month.
Next month.
Next month.
Cool.
Well, Justin, what did you think of it?
Oh, yeah, I guess I have to defend it. Yeah. I thought it was great. It's like it's bringing the Human Torch back. He was only killed a little while ago, quote unquote. But I didn't mind that. It sort of made sense. You never saw him die. I thought the front story was very good. And then what I really liked about this is all the ancillary stories, just taking one detail from this run on Fantastic Four, which is incredibly dense, and seeing a little vignette about it. It was really, really well done. A lot of different artists. I thought it was just top to bottom. The whole thing was great.
Yeah, I agree. This was incredibly impressive just for the amount of story and that it wasn't main story and that a bunch of, just fun little backups.
I thought it was
going
to be like a bunch of reprints. And I was like,
but each one is vitally important to the plot in different ways. They give great teases. Each one kind of had a different style to it. And you have amazing artists like Ming Doyle was in there and Farrell Dalrymple.
Farrell Dalrymple, yeah.
Can we talk about the Farrell Dalrymple story at the end a little bit? Because there's a huge tease in there at the end. Franklin Richards.
Is that the last one, like the kids
yeah,
one?
Franklin Leech Richards and Franklin? Yeah. Has the power again to create universes, and he's kind of just playing around in a universe with his friend Leech. Really fun, but it's also very meta, and it ends with a thing where there's some mysterious guy who's kind of pushing him in a weird, dark sort of way to remake the world.
Yeah.
Make things better, as I think.
What do you think?
Do you guys think this
they
is
They tease it earlier in the
something?
Issue, too, where like, it's time to practice.
Yeah,
like
I think it's older when it's older Franklin.
I think it's older Franklin, too. I'm wondering, in a greater Marvel Universe, we talked about this last week, whether Marvel Universe was headed towards a reboot in any way. Which the
there are ghosts! There are ghosts!
I mean, this seems like a pretty good way of doing that if you're going to do it, right?
Well, they've tried that once with Heroes Reborn, which is
exactly
pretty
platform,
shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if there's ever a good way to reboot a universe, it's have a kid just do it randomly.
A kid that pretty much no one likes. Like, his parents like him, but
Oops.
That's about it. Yeah.
I would like to address the fact of, Flamon coming back.
Human Torch is his name.
Yeah, yeah. It was just a little...
His full name is Johnny Flamon.
Yeah. No homo. So it's one of those things where
great.
I feel like it was a powerful issue when Spider-Man had to sit down with the, Reed Richards kids and like really talk to him about it and share his thing with.
But haven't you ever known someone that like dies and then comes back a couple weeks later?
No.
Oh, well, it's sort of like that.
All right. Well, anyways, I just feel like that when a guy comes back too quick, it undercuts
how powerful the shit that happened before
Dude,
was.
It's like a dream come true for you. He came back with a badass arm and like a cool rod on it. And he's like runs an army of dudes. He has a Nihilus chained up to his foot almost.
Yeah, it's right up Pete's alley.
Yeah.
I thought there was a weird part when like the Sentinels or Sentries or whatever they were called were attacking Soho. And Thing is like, oh no, Alicia is in Soho. I know that. She always goes there on Mondays. So like there, Thing, Hulk, and She-Hulk are down there and like Sentries show up. And it's like assessing targets, destroy primary target, and She-Hulk gets blown away. And I was like, "If you're Thing, how do you not have a how does a Thing not comment on that?"
I thought he did. He had a line that was just like, "Oh, figures," and then he went and punched somebody. I thought that was really spot on because she's a Hulk, and the Hulk always beats a Thing. And think about it though, Alicia Masters, Potter. So
she does Potter.
Yeah,
she just could make the next Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Maybe
she could. Anything can happen, you guys. Great issue. Mm-hmm. Definitely pick it up. Last one. My pick, Lock and Key, Guide to the Known Keys.
Lock.
One shot. We talk too much about how good
well,
this
we
is.
Rave about this comic.
And
it's depressing.
Depressing?
But yeah.
Well,
it's
this story
gorgeous.
Made me cry. Yeah. I straight up made
really?
Me cry. Yeah, at the end. I mean, this is
a guy
beautiful
looks
story.
Like
there's a bunch of people that look yeah. like Zalbin in this.
Yeah, there's a, yeah. there's a 70-year-old comic book commentator in there.
Yeah, it was a weird plot twist, but I liked
He's
it.
He's in his
really
mid-70s.
We cut to mid-70s. Alex in his home.
Just to talk about it a little bit. If you have never read Lock and Key before, first of all, do. Second of all, you can actually pick up this issue
Stand
and get
alone.
Right into
Stand
it. It's
alone.
Fine. First story, really beautiful about back in time. I don't know. Is it 1800s? I don't remember the days.
Yeah, I think it's in the
1800s.
19th century.
Father trying to figure out how to deal with his son who is sick and dying. Figures out because there's these mystical keys, a way of doing it, and it ties into this beautiful Winsor McKay imagery.
Oh, it was lovely.
That's absolutely gorgeous. Ends on a really heartbreaking note. And then there's the rest of the issue, which gets into the Guide to the Known Keys thing. And normally you would get these kind of inventory issues where it's, hey, getting caught up on here's what the keys are. But what Joe Hill and Gabriel Rodriguez do here, which is so brilliant, is the Guide to the Keys is a story in and of itself, ties into the main story, fleshes out stuff about that, fleshes out stuff about the series, and is indispensable.
It was a really fleshy read.
Whoops, I skipped all that.
It's real fleshy.
I skipped all that by accident. I was like, oh, ads.
Text. Yeah, it's great. Amazing, amazing one-shot. Woo! Definitely pick it up. What'd you guys think about this?
Same thing. I loved it. I love it. As soon as they sort of switch over into the Winsor McKay style, I was like, I felt the change. It was really great use of like switching a tone in art, and great story all the way.
I don't
it was
know,
very
man.
Heartbreaking.
I was pretty creeped out. I mean, when that
that's
kid...
not true about the moon though.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Yeah,
I could see Terry Gilliam making this movie in like, you know, no time. Like I feel like that's already on tap. It feels like Baron von Munchausen.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
everything's like Woo! You know like rope. Powered and shit like that.
Rope powered.
It's all pulleys.
Cliff, any
lots
about
of pulleys.
About this? Did you?
No.
Go.
looking forward to reading it though.
I did think it was really like, you know, Joe Hill, he just when you think things are like, oh, look, a father son conversation, the kid's like, and you're like, God damn it. Can I just enjoy five panels?
No.
No.
Haven't you ever had a kid in the 19th century who had seizures?
No.
Oh, it's just like that.
Wait.
It's just like
we,
that.
We touched on it, but we didn't touch on it enough that this the father looks like Zalbin.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's got sideburns, yeah. A hell of a hairline, and glasses.
Well, that looks like there is a Dr. Zalbin in continuity
in Lock and Key.
So you think?
I think this is one of his ancestors. That's what I'm saying.
No.
That's what I think.
Creating quite the guide to the known Zalbins. We were establishing.
I can only hope. I think you were the moon. You look like the moon, right?
Thank you. Yes, I
You're
do.
You're welcome.
I've got a little keyhole right here.
Oh, that's the most adorable thing that has ever been
Did
said on
the show.
Did you
point out your butt?
Guys, that's it for the stats.
Yeah.
We're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to bring out our best friend, Boothman.
Boothman! The big fan.
What's up, everybody?
From Kazakhstan.
Hey, Boothers.
All right. So I got some papers with questions, I guess.
You really downplayed this.
Oh, it's your first time at the show, which I know it's not.
No, there's...
Boothman lives in the booth.
Yeah, that's why I wear a bathrobe. And
that's why he has no time to wash it.
No, none. I don't have a... I live in the booth.
I know. No I will pay to wash that fucking
It's a parable for the lack of resources in the future.
What?
Just read the
Let's get some questions.
All right. Who's so ugly they should be a comic book villain?
Jeez.
You mean on the panel or?
I'm going to say in the world.
The
right?
world.
So ugly. Michelle Bachman.
Oh, she's hot, dude.
On the inside.
She's beautiful.
Is she?
She's got like a mad eye. You like don't, Harry
come
Potter
on.
Style.
She's not so. She's just an awful person. She's not so ugly. Right? Would you look?
I mean, find that.
She
I find
is
that,
a supervillain to begin with.
I find right. that people's personalities make them ugly.
Wow. I find myself to be social. I find myself to be pretty social.
Unrelated.
That's what I say when I'm trying to say shallow. So what does that say about my life?
I would say hashtag. The rent's too damn high guy is already set up to be a villain.
But he's not ugly.
Yeah, he's not ugly.
No, he's fucking hot too, dude. You guys got to lower your standards.
All right, what's ugly in the world?
What's ugly in this world?
Tell us what's ugly in the world.
Nicole Kidman.
Well, here's the thing. Not a lot of famous people are ugly. Isn't that a comment on our social? I mean, society.
There's plenty of people, I think, that could be supervillains.
Plenty of ugly people.
That was the question. Please answer.
But not. I agree with you about the ugly thing, I think.
Who could be a supervillain?
I don't know. Everybody is.
I mean, even in comics, though, supervillains aren't necessarily ugly.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
Not usually.
Lex Luthor.
Dr. Octopus is pretty ugly right now.
Yeah. Dr. Doom has to hide his face.
He just needs to get that bowl cut fixed, dude. Yeah.
Well, no. Now he has cancer and is bald and has no arms or legs.
So he's just Dr. Puss? Like, he doesn't have...
Wow, well, that's what you think
you
of cancer.
Saw Octopus.
Yeah, Dr.
Pussy
is what they're calling it.
Dr. Pussy?
Yeah.
That's what it's... That's your vanity plate on your...
Hey, it's a sweet moped. I had to get it.
I'm Dr.
Moped.
The doctor is in.
I do make house calls. I apologize.
Wow, guys, I think we have a new line of t-shirts. I'm pretty excited.
We need to get a bootleg designer. Yeah. Do we have one?
Maybe.
All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
And the trademark for that new doctor character.
All right. What is the scripted plan B for the now 52, or that might be new 52, to return to an almost pre-Flashpoint continuity?
Whoa.
Oh, I know this one.
Hit it.
I think that one's for me.
Yeah. I don't know this one. Yeah.
I mean, there was about 9 words in that sentence that I don't know.
One of them is 52, which is a number.
Yeah. That's why.
He's got
I think it was a word.
Yeah.
What does flat point continuity mean?
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint.
Oh, Flashpoint.
Get it together.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I'm going to give you guys all wedgies after this.
Guy code.
Not again.
Actually, I am curious. I mean, I don't think they're going to return to pre-Flashpoint continuity. That's
Who
not
says
in the cards.
That?
They're doing well enough, right?
I have no idea.
In fact, that would be crazy. They
yeah,
just
I do have a question
started.
For you, and you probably can't tell us other way. Do you know who that purple woman is?
Oh, no, I don't. I just was told to draw her into the first issue.
Did you? That was going to be my next
who
question.
Told you?
Because it looks like...
Somebody on the subway just leaned into him and was like, draw a purple woman.
The purple woman.
Licked his whole face and then got off in between stops.
It's a good thing they gave me reference, though. Yeah. Like, here, there was a package.
Oh!
The purple woman! Be careful.
That's great.
Don't talk about the purple woman.
Yeah, you guys are married now.
The purple woman is here. What's that?
What?
I think that whole purple woman thing, are people excited about that? Is anyone?
I am.
This guy.
I don't know.
It's a purple woman.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Actually, I am curious just to kind of follow up on this. This is just a personal thing. So it looked like it was photoshopped in some of the issues and it was drawn to some of the others, but you drew it in.
No, I photoshopped it in.
Yeah.
I tricked you.
Okay.
Yeah. He got you, Zalbin.
We were just kind of like working and we had the pages done and then they were like, well, you know, we need to put this purple woman in there, so just figure out a place. And then
big story point. A lot of concern.
Who made you do it?
I want to be at that meeting. So you want to put this purple woman in?
Oh, yeah.
How about every comic? Let's do it.
Cliff,
put the purple woman in.
They have a direct button in the DC offices to Cliff Chiang. Is that true?
It's on a red telephone. Yeah.
Dan DeDio was always bumping him with his elbow, and you hear some weird shit come out of that office. Man.
I was licking this guy on the subway. So anyway,
I whispered purple, draw a purple woman to so many strangers. We had to hit a bunch of the DC artists.
All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Good question. Well worded.
What is the most gorgeous single page of comic art you have ever seen?
Oh.
Whoa.
Okay, okay.
I actually have an answer to that. I think,
really?
Yeah, there's this page. I'm trying to remember if this is the exact page. I think it is. There's a page in Superman for All Seasons by Tim Sale where it's this Superman preventing this kid from jumping out the window, and it's beautiful. Just, I think when I saw that page, I just stopped for probably 5-10 minutes kind of looking at it over and over and kind of studying every part of it just because it was a beautiful scene, incredibly well told.
Nice.
There you go.
Pete, have you ever conceived of beauty?
Pete is lost in thought.
He's stroking his little mustache.
There's a lot of imagery that comes to my mind.
Family values.
I would say the first thing that comes to my mind is Planet Hulk, where Hulk is so angry he's standing on the front of the ship, like waiting to get to Earth and destroy everybody.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
that's a picture perfect capture
of like rage in such a way that is.
At night, I turn over to my wife and I'm like, "You're like a fucking monster on a stone ship, aimed right at my fucking heart, babe. Never leave this bedroom."
What about you guys?
Wow,
that and everything Cliff Chang does.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah, that was my answer.
If your answer was everything I do, that would have been badass.
Drops the microphone and walks off.
Is never seen again.
There's a page from Alpha Flight that John Byrne did that took place in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
And it's all just boxes and word balloons. And that's pretty awesome.
That is very cool.
Yeah. For that. But my second one would be a... It was a cool moment in a book. Milo Manara did this book called Trip to Tulum, I think with Fellini. And there was this awesome image at the end where this plane, spoilers, comes out of a lake, and it's just like the coolest image ever.
So. That's awesome.
I would like to just say that the cover you did for Green Arrow, Black Canary.
That one, yes, that one. That
where it's the two of them holding the bow together. My wife was like, she lets us put that art up in our house. So that's how
really?
She let you, huh?
It's just that and a bunch of those pictures of kids holding flowers where just the flowers are colored in.
Yeah.
And what
it's like a
you,
baby
Justin?
In a flower pot with a sunflower. Yeah.
I'm cute. They're Sandman 50, I think it is, I don't remember his name. It's like P. Craig Russell or Craig T. Nelson. I can't quite remember.
It's Craig,
it's Craig
T. Nelson.
Nelson.
Craig T. Nelson.
Coach. Coach.
Coach.
From coach.
Coach. Right. Coach.
Not Coach from Cheers.
Yeah. Coach right. from Coach. Coach from Cheers. Great.
He's great on Parenthood, by the way.
Yeah. That issue has some very gorgeous art in it. Also, some of the stuff from like Casanova I've been really liking as well.
Oh, yeah.
Very beautiful.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't fucking know. No, my this is gonna be a cop out answer, but any like real close ups of Power Girl?
Geico, currently on MTV2.
Yeah.
Close ups.
Well, she's got nice legs too, but there's something about a jacked chick with short blonde hair and a booby window that I can't get. You know,
a
I
booby
can get
window.
Yeah, it's not just cleavage; it's just a window. You know, that's.
When are you gonna get that costume for your wife?
When am I going to get another one for her?
When are you going to get a clean one?
Yeah. All right. Raise your hand if you
when
ask that.
When am I
going
to let her see the one that I've just been jizzing on every day?
Raise your hand if you ask that. You get some free comics. And that's it for your audience questions. Thank you, Booth Man.
Woo, woo, woo.
All right, guys. It is now time for our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Yeah, we do.
First thing we're going to talk about, big thing to talk about, the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead happened this past Sunday. Big stuff happened.
Oh, man.
So big. Again, I was sitting in the office watching Pete watch it and kind of flip through comic books and not really watch it and say, oh, this is bullshit. And this is wild.
Bullshit.
At the last 10 minutes of the episode.
The most intense 10 minutes.
Yeah, and they're blasting zombies, which is all you have asked for 2 years. And you go, I'm just going to read this comic.
No, it was bullshit the way it happened. Like, You should have just
give
shot.
Give those zombies a chance.
What, how much more of what's-his-name's bullshit do we have to put up with?
Shane.
Herschel?
Shane?
Shane? Shane? Just fucking shoot that
Sophia?
Fucking guy.
Jesus.
Oh, he's a human.
I have to say, I'm done with Sophia's bullshit after this episode.
No, like, he keeps getting out of hand and saying stupid shit and, like, enough. We got
yeah,
guns. Let's
it
just,
is enough.
I hope.
Somebody.
That's why I checked out emotionally, because I was like, here this asshole goes again, ruining. Now they're going to have to leave.
So you're saying you don't like some asshole just shouting incomprehensibly about something he's upset about?
Damn.
That's not what
you happened. Hate what you know. You hate what you know. I got to say, if there's a zombie apocalypse happening right now, I'm going to push you out there. Because I would fear for my life if I said the wrong thing. You'd just be like, bam! And you see, that makes him laugh.
Yeah, dude, you can't start killing humans. Like, there's got to be a rule against that, you know?
Oh, you're all right.
That's a rule in society now already. Just
no,
so
but
you
it's
know.
Like, it's like, it's super important when the zombies come.
Yeah.
It's like a superficial rule now.
Yeah.
Superficial.
Right, it's just a guide to behavior.
Yeah, it's like a guy code. Yeah.
Recommended.
I thought the episode was very good. I liked it a lot.
The second season,
the Shane stuff,
real solid.
Like, yeah, he. The thing is, like, his dialogue I was like, no one, like, it was a little crazy. But like, once he let the zombies out, all that, and I love the ending, the character that is revealed at the end, great. And I like that. It looks like for the second half of the season, they're picking up literally that moment that they left off.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I'm so tired. Like, the last four episodes have been like, I guess this faux dramatic tension of. Herschel's like, I don't want you guys to stay. And then they're going to the camp. Well, Herschel doesn't want us to stay. Well, we got to stay. That happens like every 7 minutes in the episodes. I'm like, yeah. We get it. It's fucking tense. Just
well,
show it.
In between that and the protracted, like, yo, we got to find this girl. And yeah. Like every episode for the last like six, like essentially they're like, well, if we just go through these trees, maybe she'll be standing there.
Yeah. They found her.
We haven't found her. Up yet. So spoilers. We're about like four episodes back, but... Are the zombies sprinting now? Because they seem to get faster every episode. Robert Kirkman actually talked about this, like in the next episode, just running, just booking and catching them.
Yeah, well, they're scared of themselves, right. So they're running away.
From themselves.
Robert Kirkman actually talked about this, that they can move at different speeds depending on how dead they are
right. And
how much their muscles have... It's stupid, I don't know.
Atrophied, yeah.
Yeah, how much their muscles have atrophied. You know, the longer dead can't run quite as fast.
Stiff.
Yeah, the new ones are just super fast. Yeah.
So let me just spoil something. They fucking, sorry if anyone hasn't seen it, but they reveal that the person, that the girl that they're looking for is one of the walkers in Herschel's barn. Sorry. But why the fuck hasn't anyone said any? They're all like, we're looking for a girl. Everyone is talking about missing a girl.
Well, Herschel's like, is she a zombie? And they're like, no. He's like, okay.
Oh, we got one zombie girl in the exact same fucking outfit. Yeah. They go there and they throw chickens into the walkers, and has so much adoration for his walkers of his, you know, his.
He
also, they make a huge deal. He's like, my wife and my stepson. Yeah. No one gives a shit about their stepson that much. You keep him alive when he was a zombie.
I don't know. He was like, when they caught those zombies in the pond, they were like, yeah, this is my neighbor Martha, and like the guy that's
some other guy
having sex with her or something. Yeah. We better get him too.
But like, why wouldn't they just be like, are you looking for a girl? There is a tiny female zombie in our barn. How the fuck
you can't
know?
Talk about the
yeah,
barn.
I mean, I think actually...
But you gotta say, guys, you're out there risking your life every single day looking for this girl. We have her.
Okay, I don't wanna, you know...
Incense
you or totally defend it or anything. They did on Talking Dead afterwards talk about how that worked, that Otis was the guy who actually, as they talked about, he was the guy who got the zombies and brought them back in the barn. He was the one who was in charge of that. So what they said was he got Sophia, brought her into the barn... And then everybody ran up, and all they were talking about was Carl, and Carl being shot. They had to go out, get medical supplies, and then Shane killed him before he could say, oh, wait, there's that girl.
That's a good point.
So that's kind of what happened. That said, I think you're totally right, where everybody goes into the bar and goes, huh, that's a little girl in there. Well, anyway, here's a chicken foot. Enjoy.
Well, why wouldn't they even the people have to have some soul in them when they're like, we should maybe go look in the barn. I know we're not supposed to tell them about the barn, but what if there is that girl is a zombie?
I think
in there?
We're going to see the fallout from that in the second half of the season. I think there's no way that
ideally it doesn't start with like 2 years later.
Well, and I also though like Shane was crazy, but when he's yelling, and he's like shooting the zombies. He's like, "You think these people are gonna fucking come back to life?" And he shoots them and whatnot. I was like, "That was great." I thought that was really
that was
smart.
Good. My favorite thing of the episode was Rick cutting off every single argument with Lori is pregnant. Right at the end, where anybody was getting a heated argument, he could say, Lori is pregnant, and they would say, oh, well, I'm sorry, you win.
Yeah.
You won the argument.
But it was nice to see that the kid kind of like stand up to his girlfriend and be like, hey, I did it for you, all right? I thought that was kind of a cool
I love end. The Glenn Maggie stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Really? Maggie is so mint, dude. She's
so very hot.
You don't show a girl, first reveal the girl ride in on a horse with a bat. Bash a zombie head in and don't expect nerd
boys to
be
like, rides a horse a little weird?
What?
She got a bounce.
Where has your libido been killed?
I'm 75 years old.
Because I, you know, 70s. Before there was cars, I was riding horses everywhere. And we knew how to ride a horse.
Yeah, I knew a girl named Maggie. That she's dead.
Yep.
All right, let's move on. Talk about a couple of other things. I don't know if you guys heard this. This happened late in the day. Very exciting news. M. Night Shyamalan is on Twitter. You guys.
Who cares?
Spoiler.
Yeah, he's going to have some real twisty hashtags.
He was never on Twitter to begin with.
To be fair, he started off really well on Twitter, and then it got worse and worse as he kept putting himself in more and more of his tweets by the end of the day.
The last 10 characters always just really surprise you.
Well, they're always web dings. That's the real twist at the end. You just can't read them.
Another thing that's
Everybody
happening.
Did get a joke in there? Okay, let's go.
Yeah, no, that was good. Yeah, I was like, I'll throw this in there, throw that up. We can make a couple of Twitter jokes. Let's do that. Yeah. Another thing that's happening, X-Men. There's going to be a triple X porn parody, X-Men triple X porn parody, and a
plot
tied in Wolverine, a triple X porn parody. Is anybody else super upset that they didn't call it triple X-Men?
They really
don't. They seriously are not. They're calling it X-Men, a triple X porn parody.
I think it helps.
That's disgusting.
I think it helps for like name recognition, to be honest. To be honest with
yeah.
you. And like marketing, like 30 Rock is not called the 30 Rock porn. It's called a 30 Rock porn parody, not 30 Cock. Like, you know, because they want it to be like.
But there are 30 cocks in it.
I think I counted 16
My count,
tops.
Yeah.
And 16 appearances. You know, it's only like 9 different cocks.
Did you watch
16
the...
tops, how many bottoms?
No, there lots of bottoms. Mostly bottoms in the one I watched. All right, back to it.
cool. Last thing, this is also announced late in
Wait,
the day.
Can we talk about that? Isn't that like? Isn't that? Is anyone else super excited about that?
Not really. It's like a thing. There are a lot of porn parodies now, right?
Yeah, but like a porn parody of superheroes is.
Yeah,
way
what
better
would
than,
I mean?
I don't want to fuck Elaine Bennis that bad that I would watch a Seinfeld porn parody. But I've always wanted to fuck Psylocke. And Colossus. So
there you go. Do you think is there? They're definitely hitting the big ones. They've done X-Men. Now they're done Spider-Man, Superman, Hulk. Are there any deep cut superheroes or comic books that you'd really like to see a porn parody of?
I don't know. I think I found a way to somehow separate my pornography from my comic book fandom. Just enough that I don't
need...
I can't
separate it. I'm constantly confused.
Yeah.
Every Wednesday, I jerk off like 10 times.
Yeah. I've seen you at Midtown. I've seen you dragged out of Midtown Comics.
I'm like, I want my free $20. They're like, what?
They do charge you $3.99 every time you do it, though,
yeah,
right?
It's worth it.
Yeah. That's it for the Week of Geek! Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on up, sir.
Bring up the crier.
What is your name, sir?
Andre,
audience, Andre. All right, so this is how this is going to work. I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers.
Okay.
Go 3 for 3, and you will get this gift card.
Sweet.
All right. Sweet. Today's trivia is on Cliff Chang.
Ooh, the person.
I knew I should have raised my hand.
All right, here we go. Cliff Chang graduated from what university? Is it A, Harvard, B, Yale, or C, DeVry?
Ooh.
So, it's either A or it's B.
I'm going to go with A.
A is correct.
Oh, yes.
Not Greg.
My graduate degree is from DeVry.
All right. Good. Glad to hear it. All right. Which comic book has Cliff Chang not, I repeat, not worked on? Is it A, Batman, B, Swamp Thing, or C, Geeks vs. Nerds? Which is a comic book that I am pitching currently. I need an artist. What? You see how I did that? That was so smooth. No, it's not true. But C is the correct answer. It's a comic book that doesn't exist, so he couldn't work on it.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
That was a monologue. You
that was a monologue. Yep. Sometimes you gotta see.
I gotta say, you've been doing this long time, B. That was the weirdest roller coaster I've ever seen you go on.
Okay. Here we go.
Ups and
if
downs.
You think that was weird. Okay. If you were standing between two Cliff Changs, what would you call it? Is it A, between two Cliff Changs, B, a Changwich, or C, the multiverse? See, between two Changs is kind of like between two ferns.
Oh, I see.
It's a little
I
shout out
you.
To.
What about What about on the Chang Gang?
Ooh.
I should help. I should work with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Changs of Love.
There's a great T-shirt.
That's
or, I
amazing.
Mean,
Chang Chang.
I'm gonna go with the Changwich. Was it the
yes?
Changwich?
Yes. Changwich is correct. $25 free. Congratulations.
Wow, a literal Cliff Chang super fan in the audience. Knew all the deep cut trivia about Cliff.
Real Cliff Changer, whether or not he was going to get that.
Awesome.
Yeah, that so what happened? The Changwich thing was not supposed to get out there.
You could only find two facts about Cliff.
One of them is, what hasn't he worked on?
Well, he was pitching.
Amazing. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show, and I'm sure they're very thankful that they have. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, I have no idea. I really totally blanked. I don't know. Is the Punisher coming out tomorrow? What's happening?
No, here. Why don't you look at it for a second?
All right.
Give it a little credence.
Justin, what about you?
Spaceman number 2, I'm looking forward to. Love the first one. Looking forward to the second.
Yeah, it's only $1.99.
There you go.
Oh, $2.99 now.
Good series buy.
Never mind.
Forget it.
Check your facts.
Why? Why did the price go up? That sucks.
I'm also.
The first issue was $1.
Yeah.
And it was hey, come buy the series. It wasn't every issue is going to be $1. It's like crack.
Brian Azzarello sold it to me. He was like, "Listen, it's $1. It's going to be sweet." The whole time.
Man, you got ripped off again.
Are we supposed to be all sympathy for you?
If you want to complain to him, he's standing right behind you right now.
Yeah. Believed it.
Good pause. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Herc number 10.
Yeah, nice. That's the last issue of Herc, sadly.
Yeah.
And the last of Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente's long run, so definitely pick that up. I'm looking forward to Angel and Faith number 4 by Christos Gage. This is a spinoff of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer series, but it's been awesome. Really good, really well written, fun comic. Even if you don't know anything about anything that's going on in Buffy, it's still.
When I eventually meet Joss Whedon, like it'll be great to still even talk about all this Buffy stuff that I can't hear because I'm still reading it.
I mean, that's all true. I'm not going to deny any of that.
What shirt is he wearing today?
The same one he wears every day. My cool. shirt.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Whatever I give him in the morning. What?
No homo.
You don't
to
understand.
Be fair, Zalbin delivers his dry cleaning.
Yeah.
I do. It's
as he has since the 1930s.
Best way to dry clean is that.
I was gonna say Herc 10 because I love that run. I love any superhero that's power is strength.
And you know, I don't know if you've been reading it, but he lives in Brooklyn now.
Yeah, I know. 114 President Apartment 3.
That's his actual address. Just so you know, like some people come on a show and they lie.
I'm giving out my Soch and PayPal password afterwards if you guys want.
PayPal password.
But to be honest with you, I'm not going to make it to comics. I'm not going to make it to the store. I'm going to be fucking grinding. I got the ability to make elven armor now. I'm going to be juicing elven armor. I'm going to get it up to exquisite. And then, you know, my sneak, it needs work. So I'm going to work on my sneak.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. You guys will see.
Yeah, definitely come back on the show.
I'm sneaking and grinding. This is a Montel Jordan song. Ready for a little sneak and grind.
For the our comic book fan, club fans, Montel Jordan was a R&B recording artist.
To be fair, before I was a nerd, I was really into R&B in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, we definitely should have you back on when your sneak is up to
yeah. Excelsior. Well, I can't wait to tell you what my backstab multiplier is going to be.
Awesome. Yeah, once your muscles atrophy, we'll come carry you into the city to go do the show.
Cool. Plug some stuff. What should people check out from you?
You can check out Guy Code every Tuesday night at 11 on MTV2. I don't know what fucking channel it is. It's in the hundreds or something. And you could check out my website, angelfire.com/. It's gabris.com.
Cool. I had to parse that in my head for a second. Cliff, what are you looking forward to?
Spaceman 2. I really like the first issue. I got it for free. So
I didn't
even pay a dollar, man.
Pete's going to be at Midtown tomorrow yelling, give me my dollar back.
But yeah, I really liked it. I thought it was pretty cool to see Brian and Eduardo do sci-fi stuff. And, you know, so Eduardo gets to draw some cool different stuff and see where the story goes.
And plug some of your stuff. What should people check out?
Wonder Woman 4 is coming out in a couple weeks, in 3 weeks, I think. And Wonder Woman 3 is in stores now or on Comixology. And then we've got our trade coming out sometime next year. I think in May.
Cool. Can you tease anything from the next issue?
Yeah, tease something.
The next issue, well, Wonder Woman's wearing pants. I know.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Great.
We're excited about that.
Your favorite part.
Yeah. And is there anything you can tell us to get us through the two issues you're not going to be on it during our Chang over?
the Changpocalypse. there's a Chang witch around those two issues.
Yeah, that's a double meat Chang witch.
Yeah. Oh, gross.
We're also doing that after the show.
So we should probably end this quickly then. Guys, a couple of things before we go. You can check us out at comicbookclublive.com for podcasts, forum, and news and stuff.
How is our forum doing?
So good. It's so good.
I need to pop in.
I keep posting stuff there, pictures, saying, what do you guys think about this?
Oh, that's why I haven't been there.
Yeah, Pete, anything you want to plug?
Hey, friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all of our amazing guests that we have on the show.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank John for being on the show.
Yeah.
Cliff.
Yeah.
Boothman.
Yeah.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater in New York City. Good night.
Thanks, everybody.
You guys. Good night.